The Supreme Court of the United States has ruled in a 9-0 unanimous decision that states cannot bar Donald Trump from the ballot. We discuss the win for our constitutional republic today on the Palmetto Family Matters Show. Welcome in. It's the fastest growing and strongest conservative talk show in the state of South Carolina. It's the Palmetto Family Matters Show. Today is Monday, March the 4th, year of our Lord, 2024.
Ding, ding, ding.
And on this day, our constitutional republic is preserved at least for another day.
Survives the threat of impending democracy.
Right. Well, you know, one insurrection is only corrected by another. And so if you are misremembering, the Colorado Supreme Court, after the Colorado Secretary of State ruled that Donald Trump could not be on the ballot because he violated Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which deals with Confederate troops and Confederate generals and Confederate office holders running for federal office, the Colorado Supreme Court upheld that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump immediately and his lawyers immediately appealed to the Supreme Court, as they should have, and they were right to do so. And not shocking, Mitch, by the way, Justin Hall, Mitch Prosser, not shocking, Mitch, that the Supreme Court would rule in favor of Trump's argument. I am slightly shocked it was 9-0.
Complete clean sweep, almost as good as Carolina's weekend
in basketball.
In basketball,
I don't speak other sports right now.
Go Tigers! Tigers!
Yeah, Okay, really quick aside. Congratulations, Clemson fans! You get to talk about college baseball for a couple days, then you'll forget it is even a sport, and you'll focus on football again because no other sport matters unless you beat South Carolina, and if you lose to South Carolina in that sport, it doesn't matter.
Men's basketball.
Anyway,
men's basketball.
Anyway, well, I don't know both. And equestrian, and track, and volleyball, and softball.
Oh, no, I was talking about Clemson.
Every spring sport.
I was talking about Clemson beating Carolina this year in men's basketball.
That happened, yeah.
Now, they're both great teams, and
helps their net ranking, doesn't
it? Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Anyway.
They're both going to the tournament, and they're both going to do a great job for the state of South Carolina.
One's going to the tournament. One might not.
It's going to be huge.
So the Supreme Court ruled that Donald Trump can't appear on the ballot. Now,
They should have.
That news broke as of this recording about an hour ago. And so immediately we go to the tape and we read the ruling.
Because Justin's a nerd like that.
Well, you know, I think it's important to not just read what other people think and actually gain my own conclusions.
Totally. And he's really good at parsing legislation and Supreme Court rulings. He's gotten a lot of good practice in the last few years as a result of what we've endured here in the state of South Carolina.
We start with this one. Did the Colorado Supreme Court err in ordering President Trump excluded from the 2024 presidential primary ballot, concluding that it did?
Check.
We now reverse. This case raises the question whether states, in addition to Congress, may enforce Section 3. We conclude that states may disqualify persons holding or attempting to hold state office. But states have no power under the Constitution to enforce Section 3 with respect to federal offices, especially the presidency.
What it's saying is the state of Colorado, specifically the Attorney General and then upheld by the state Supreme Court, acted without its bounds, if you will, outside of the bounds of its jurisdiction in enforcing the 14th Amendment. Yes, they have the authority to restrict access from the ballot and recall people from office in state government, but the state cannot restrict federal access to a ballot or federal office. Now, I think the impending question would be, and this is something for a later date, which three who agree but disagree?
Yeah.
Leave the back door open, and that is, can a U.S. senator elected by the people of the state or a congressman, congresswoman, mm-hmm. congressperson,
Congress, they, them.
Can they, them, they, them, sir, be recalled by the people of the state if it is deemed by the attorney general or the people they are guilty of that dirty little I word?
Well, the only problem is here, Donald Trump's never been charged with insurrection.
Only in the court of public opinion, which...
He's never been charged criminally with insurrection.
Correct.
Amy Coney Barrett wrote the lead decision. Is this her first lead opinion?
I'm not sure, but she wrote a good one.
On a case that matters, on a case that has widespread ramifications, certainly. All of them matter. Amy Coney Barrett said this, "The majority's choice of a different path leaves the remaining justices with a choice of how to respond. In my judgment, this is not the time to amplify disagreement with stridency. The court has settled a politically charged issue in the volatile season of a presidential election. Particularly in this circumstance, writings on the court should turn the national temperature down, not up. For present purposes, our differences are far less important than our unanimity. All nine justices agree on the outcome of this case. That is the message Americans should take home."
She's absolutely right. The other concerning thing here is that we're even talking about this today. Not that it happened, but that we're concerned that it could have gone the other way.
Under this court, there was no shot that Donald Trump would be kept off the Colorado ballot. I do believe, and I mentioned this to you in preparation for the show, that replace two of these justices, three of them, this goes the other way. Because I am convinced that it's not just about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I believe that the left in this country has gone so far to the left that the freedom of the people to vote for a candidate of their choosing is considered a threat to democracy.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we don't have. But is a threat to democratic principles. I'll phrase it that way. Now, this did not stop Justices Kagan, Sotomayor, and Jackson from opining.
From writing an agreeing dissenting...
An agreeing with the dissent.
Agree, but disagree.
Quote, "Section 3 serves an important, though rarely needed, role in our democracy. First of all, we have three Supreme Court justices who believe we have a democracy. Mayday, mayday, red alert. Get out.
Danger,
now,
Will Robinson,
the building
danger.
Is going to blow. The American people have the power to vote for and elect candidates for national office, and that is a great and glorious thing. The men who drafted and ratified the 14th Amendment, however, had witnessed an insurrection and rebellion to defend slavery. They wanted to ensure that those who had participated in that insurrection and impossible future insurrections could not return to prominent roles.
Possible future insurrections.
Today.
We're mailing it in, ladies and gentlemen.
Today, the majority goes beyond the necessities of this case to limit how Section 3 can bar an oath-breaking insurrectionist from becoming president. They called the former president an oath-breaking insurrectionist at least four times in their dissent.
Because if you say it loudly and strongly enough.
I didn't just say it. I declared it. Although we agree that Colorado cannot enforce Section 3, we protest the majority's effort to use this case to define the limits of federal enforcement of that provision. Because we would decide only the issue before us, we concur only in the judgment. So it's, yeah, you're right, but not like you said.
So the Constitution is real, but it like totally stinks and stuff.
You're only saying that because you, never mind.
yes, I am. Well,
that's the problem here, though. You're going to see it all over Twitter and all over Facebook, unanimous decision. These three ultimately disagree.
Well, I'll drill into what you accuse me of. Considering that the strongest female on the court is the one that offered the majority, in this case, 9-0 opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, because she just holds up a blank sheet of paper and says, "I'll write your name."
Ooh, no.
Yeah.
Gosh.
There was, oh, that was 2-1.
Ew.
Hey.
Ew.
Here's a crazy thought, though, for all of you out there, and this is a slight poke, okay? For all of you out there who want to go back to paper ballot, can you imagine the craziness that Colorado would have to experience tonight in order to get Trump's name back on the ballot?
Before tomorrow?
Hey.
Well, maybe we shouldn't do this to begin with.
Perhaps, but as it worked its way through the process and was correctly adjudicated by the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Thank God that we live in the 21st century and have the ability to type something and somehow get it to all the voting machines in all the counties, precincts, polling places, the state of Colorado. Paper ballot, what are we going to do? I mean, overnight, FedEx, UPS, DHL ballots to... Here's the other question, and I don't know the answer on this. What if you voted early? What if you voted early in the state of Colorado?
Well, I have a problem with early voting anyway.
But yeah, someone say problems. It's fraught with fraud.
Anytime.
No. Stop. Good news. Constitutional anarchy has been staved off.
Right.
For today.
For now. NBC's Ken Delanian, quote, "This is another example of among many that are playing out right now of the Supreme Court playing a huge role in American elections. And it's not necessarily the case that that's a good thing for the Supreme Court. The approval levels of the court poll at historic lows. Who cares? It's going to be seen by many people as the court essentially interfering in some sense in the election. And so this is all sort of playing out here in terms of how we assess the Supreme Court and its legacy." Hey, Ken Delanian, who cares?
Certainly not the nine justices.
They don't care. They do not care.
It's as if you, they're politicians.
You made this problem. Yeah. You made this problem. It's the court's job to fix it. The court doesn't abide by polling.
It's remarkable that polling rules the day. I mean, this is nothing new, Justin. We've known this for some time.
Sure.
Internal polling done daily by those that can afford it.
Sure.
Why? Because they have to have the finger on the pulse, their finger on the pulse of the court of public opinion and what everybody's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Slow down.
Right.
Sometimes you lead from the front by example when it's unpopular. Why? Because it's the right thing to do.
Sung Min Kim from the AP tweets, "Supreme Court restores Trump to ballot, rejecting state's attempts to hold him accountable for attack on Capitol in 2021. Wow, that is fraught with journalisming. Everywhere. All the journalisming. All of it. Jenna Griswold, the Secretary of State.
Clark's daughter.
Well, Clark's daughter would be smarter. Jenna Griswold, the Secretary of State from the state of Colorado, who removed Trump from the ballot. "I am disappointed in the U.S. Supreme Court's decision stripping states of the authority to enforce Section 3 of the 14th Amendment for federal candidates." I got a question. Why is it that when the Supreme Court of the United States says, you know what, that authority or that quote-unquote right is not in the Constitution, therefore it's not a recognized constitutional right or authority, why is that suddenly that they've taken something away or that they've stripped something? You and your make-believe land thought it was real and thought you had it. Turns out you never did. Therefore, they never took anything. If your son or daughter comes up to you with a little play teacup and they say, "I'm having a tea party," and you take the teacup away from them, there was never any tea in the teacup because it was imaginary tea. It was never there. If you were to take the teacup away from them, do you know what you didn't take away from them? Tea. Because it wasn't there.
So let me take you to another constitutional amendment, the one that I'm assuming predicated this argument, and that is the 10th Amendment. The 10th Amendment is often referred to as the state's rights amendment. Sure. In other words, let me just read it for you. "The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it, to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people." Now, the 14th Amendment is found within what governing document for 500, Justin?
It's found in the Constitution.
Correct. Ding, ding, ding. That's your second ding, ding, ding of the day. That is absolutely correct. Thus, the 10th.
I was worried I'd get that wrong.
Thus, the 10th Amendment doesn't apply.
Correct. The 10th Amendment would apply to things such as marriage. Marriage?
Yeah, you did it.
Or child mutilation. Or abortion. Things like that. Although, abortion, actually right to life. There you go. Never mind.
One would argue that those that are, you know, just screaming to the heavens as if Trump just won re-election and that little girl in the streets of Washington, D.C., constitutional crisis.
Yeah.
It helps if you read the document. It helps if you know what's in it. Now, if I'm way off base here, Mitch@palmettofamily.org, that's M-I-T-C-H @palmettofamily.org. Love to hear from you. Can't wait to have a substantive debate with you.
Jenna Griswold finishes with, Colorado should be able to bar oath-breaking insurrections from our ballot. Wait, who else said that? Is that... What? Are they using the same language for a reason? You'll hear that more as we move toward November. Speaking of November, Nikki Haley has not responded on Twitter to the ruling yet.
It's Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday is tomorrow. I do want to remind you about what happened in Michigan this weekend.
Super Tuesday is really long form for all the states that wish that they were South Carolina and could be first in.
Or New Hampshire or Iowa. Yeah.
Don't forget Nevada.
Everyone forgets Nevada, except Las Vegas.
Speaking of Nevada,
mm-hmm.
Going around my elbow to get to my ear hole, mm-hmm. You know what happened in Missouri over the weekend?
What happened to Missouri?
They had a caucus.
They had a compromise?
Oh. They had a caucus.
Oh.
They had a caucus. Missouri did. A Republican caucus.
Uh-huh.
I just want to read you a couple numbers given to us by... New York Times. Donald Trump received 924 caucus votes.
Yep.
David Stuckenberg.
Yes, he was on my ballot.
Zero caucus votes.
Nikki Haley, negative one.
Nikki Haley received how many? I mean, you would think.
Trump received how many?
She's been 924.
Based on the math, it normally breaks 300.
She's been tracking right there, you know.
Yeah.
Zero. Like, ooh. I like my Coke.
Hey.
Zero.
Hey. Hey. She won D.C. You stop that.
Which Trump responds with, yes, she's the queen of the swamp. We all knew it. He got all 51 delegates from the state of Missouri, winning 100% of caucus goers' votes.
I will see your Missouri. I will raise you a Michigan.
Yeah.
Former President Donald Trump swept Michigan's complicated and chaotic Republican convention caucuses Saturday. Trump won overwhelming majorities in each of the state's 13 congressional districts, collecting 100% of the vote in four congressional districts and more than 90% in nearly every other one. Based on those results, he won all 39 congressional district delegates up for grabs in those districts. They have a two-part nominating process. 16 of the state's 55 were determined based on Tuesday's primary, the remaining at the convention. In total, Donald Trump picked up 51 delegates from Michigan and Nikki Haley picked up four. Four. Now,
whether you like it or not, ladies and gentlemen, the Trump train is rolling to November.
It has been. Nikki Haley, however, I'm an equal opportunist. She did defeat Donald Trump in Washington, D.C.
You have numbers on that?
She won 62.9% of the vote to Donald Trump's 33.2.
Giving her a whopping delegate count of...
The delegate count now heading into Super Tuesday, Donald Trump has 244 delegates, Nikki Haley has 43, Ron DeSantis has 9, Vivek Ramaswamy has 3, Asa Hutchinson, Chris Christie all tied at 0.
So a guy that got out of the race almost 2 months ago.
Correct.
Has a fifth of the delegates of someone who is...
Still in the race.
Okay.
Super Tuesday is coming. It's going like to be winter. Huge. The states that are voting tomorrow include
a long list:
Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Virginia. Democrats in the U.S. territory of American Samoa will also be caucusing, and Democrats in Iowa will release the results of their presidential preference caucus.
This just in, it's Joe Biden.
Now, Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, fascinating radio, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia.
15.
16? 15?
15.
I'm going to set the over-under at states Donald Trump wins at 13.
Over.
14.
Close.
You think she picks up a state? What state's she winning? Massachusetts? Maine?
Well, she lost from
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. So
she ain't winning one of them. She ain't winning one of them, y'all.
But you also remember, not all these are winner takes all, like South Carolina, Missouri, and other states. Michigan, they split delegates.
I don't
Some
care.
Of these states split delegates.
I'm not saying she's going to be shut out of the delegate count. I'm saying she's not winning any state.
It'll be a moral victory.
Does she drop out?
When?
Does she?
Wednesday?
It's We said last Thursday.
I thought it would be Thursday.
I don't think she drops out.
Well, how does she... Okay, so their strategy was like goodness, I sound like I'm a Supreme Court justice all of a sudden. I'm sorry, that was awful. Yeah, that was rough. Trump's strategy was to go straight to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're spending time in North Carolina. It happens that he has family there. The new RNC chair is from there. All of that. What's her strategy? To what state can she go and say, if I camp out here, I increase my odds of winning significantly?
Right.
The answer is confusion.
Mm-hmm.
The state of confusion. Because if she comes to North Carolina, if she goes to Massachusetts, if she goes, the issue with Super Tuesday is, as you just read,
mm-hmm.
you have to be in Colorado and California and North Carolina and Massachusetts at the same time.
Right.
Which means you need surrogates, which means you need support. Ultimately, it means you need the S with the line through it. Money.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ain't got the money, honey, they ain't got the time. People aren't going to spend time.
Sure.
If they're not. She's got a dedicated base who will go with her to the end.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But if she doesn't have the money, the people mm-hmm. that work for a living can't do it, which means she can't do the airplay.
Right. Right.
She can't pay sign waivers.
Correct.
She can't pay people to come to her event.
True.
Yeah. It's got to be done soon. And I don't know where she's getting the money. The primary source of her mega donor funding has dried up. And we're not reporting, editorial comment here. We're just stating the facts.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much longer she can go, but the funding is drying up quickly, which means she's either spending her own money,
right,
or limping into states mm-hmm. and not performing to a standard that I think even she would be happy with.
Right.
So it's got to be soon.
Got to be soon. Well, Donald Trump's going to be the presidential nominee from the Republican Party. Joe Biden, Freudian slip, will be the assumed nominee for the Democrat Party. By the way, Thursday, March 7th, 9 p.m., he's staying up past his bedtime. It's State of the Union.
So too.
And not the one with Jake Tapper.
I would love to see the word count because, they release it early.
Well, I'll be watching it because I'm a nerd.
It's weird to be a Thursday.
I might be watching it.
Aren't they usually on Mondays and Tuesdays?
Usually it's in February, so yeah. It's kind of weird.
The other question I have is, I would assume it'll be a shorter speech because, everyone knows what the State of the Union is. And
it's bad.
The other thing, and, we just call it like we see it, he can't stand up there for very long.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to get a Roosevelt speech for 2.5 hours, Teddy Roosevelt speech for 2.5 hours.
No, we're not.
Now, does he elongate the given speech with the stammering and the mumbling and the incoherent, whatever you want to call it? Potentially. Right. There'll be a counter on that. I'll guarantee you Vegas has got, we don't encourage gambling. In fact, we're adamantly opposed to it.
Sure.
Bet you Vegas, see, I said it. Vegas has odds on how many times he says a word that does not exist. I'd almost guarantee it.
All effort. So those are the nominees, it appears. Kamala Harris is the sitting vice president, so I hear. And she was speaking. speaking in somewhere. I don't know where.
That place with the thing?
Yeah.
You know,
she was at a bridge. It might have been the Edmund Pettus Bridge, honestly, because that's just what she does. She just calls on the fact that people talk about her because she's black. And so she was she covered a multitude of different topics. The first is the situation in Gaza. Take a listen.
Given the immense scale of suffering in Gaza, there must be an immediate ceasefire. For at least the next 6 weeks, which is what is currently on the table. This will get the hostages out and get a significant amount of aid in. This would allow us to build something more enduring, to ensure Israel is secure, and to respect the right of the Palestinian people to dignity, freedom, and self-determination. Hamas claims it wants a ceasefire. Well, there is a deal on the table. And as we have said, Hamas needs to agree to that deal. Let's get a ceasefire. Let's reunite the hostages with their families. And let's provide immediate relief to the people of Gaza.
I must say, everyone loved that ceasefire moment. No one loved that moment when she said Israel's right to be secure. No one clapped.
If it's not for the two Looney Tunes in the background screaming their lungs out, everybody's at a dull golf clap.
The people of Gaza do have a right to self-determination, Madam Vice President, and they did self-determine in 2006. They elected Hamas.
And then again in 2010, and again in 2015.
By the way, they also have the right to self-determination. Hamas attacked Israel. Why? All right, really quick, before I get into that, here's a Democrat senator wondering, why is Benjamin Netanyahu so serious about this?
And if that doesn't happen, then the president can exercise his full power to halt military aid. So I think this is an important bit of leverage that the president has with Netanyahu, who, as I said in the beginning, seems sort of hell-bent to continue this terribly destructive to civilian life battle in Gaza.
Okay, so why is it destructive to civilian life? I think I have an idea. Because Hamas headquarters in schools, hospitals, and residential areas. By the way, no one is saying a word as Hamas continues to send military strikes and missile launches into central parts of Israel, like, I don't know, Tel Aviv? Anyone got a problem? They're bombing northern Israel right now. It's a place called Galilean region. Guess what? Guess who lives there? People. Civilians.
You left off UN offices?
Oh, UNRWA?
Yeah.
Oh, no one cares about UNRWA anymore. UNRWA works for Hamas. Well, I don't care.
So, you know what? One of the things that broke down, I was listening to some news. What broke down the peace talks?
They don't know how many hostages they have, quote unquote.
Well, they won't list the names of those that are still alive. They're so disorganized, they can't even tell how many people are still alive, and then won't give Israel, and the rest of the world for that matter, the names of the people that they grossly abducted from their homes.
Because I think they're, yeah.
Wait, because then that would play against them in the court of public opinion?
Yes.
Ridiculous.
So, she continued. That wasn't the only thing she said.
It gets better.
Then she started talking about freedom. You know, she loves talking about freedom.
Oh, thank you. I was confused for a moment.
Here's Vice President Harris.
And yet today, extremists passed book bans. Book bans in this year of our Lord 2024. While they also try to erase, overlook, and rewrite the ugly parts of our past. Fundamental freedoms under assault. The freedom to vote, the freedom from fear, violence, and harm, the freedom to learn, the freedom to control one's own body, and the freedom to just simply be.
She thinks she's so profound. She thinks Kamala Harris actually thinks she has all the world's intellect inside of that cranium.
Just to simply be.
Let me explain something to you. She immediately, you know, she was in the South somewhere. I can tell you she was in the South somewhere.
Feigning that
accent. Because no Californian by way of Canada sounds like that.
You mean Anna?
That's right. She was born in California, but she was raised in Canada. Look it up.
Her dad's from Jamaica?
And her dad's from Jamaica. She's an American citizen. I'm not birthing her.
Yeah, totally.
I'm just saying she was born in California, raised in Canada.
Is my good old South Carolina granddaddy would say.
And yet she sounds like she's from here.
She ain't from around here.
No, she's what we call a carpetbagger.
Let me ask you this, though. There's some confusion here about book banning.
No, okay.
And then she says something about erasing parts of our history that...
Go for it.
If only the books were about monuments.
Ah.
Would the books then
be banned? It's okay to take down statues of George Washington. That's okay.
And Bob Lee, I mean Robert E. Lee, and Confederate soldiers.
That's okay.
And you know, each municipality has their...
Maybe we should leave all of everything up.
Even the parts that we disagree with,
maybe
so that
we shouldn't
look
tear
at
down
them,
the memorial stones.
They're a pall.
Yeah.
And we
should never go back to that again.
That's awful. That's terrible. That reminds us of how parts of our history as a nation are amazing.
Just because
and other parts are downright despicable.
Just because pieces of buildings or monuments are still standing doesn't mean that they stand for something virtuous and good. The Roman Colosseum is still standing. Christians were persecuted there and martyred there. I'm not advocating tear it down.
Right.
Because that's in the past. I can't
do
anything about that
Christian
now.
History.
Right.
It's
a beautiful part of Christian
it's
history.
It's
sad and it's terrible, but it's a beautiful part of the history of this of our religion, our relationship. So she goes, she's not done. She is not done. She talks more about voting.
Today, in states across our nation, extremists pass laws to ban drop boxes, limit early voting, and restrict absentee ballots. In Georgia, extremists passed a law to even make it illegal to give people food and water for standing in line to exercise their civic duty and right to vote. I ask the friends here, Rev, whatever happened to love thy neighbor? The hypocrisy abounds.
Yes.
Indeed it does,
from
Madam
your
Vice
lips
President.
To God's ears, madam.
By the way, love thy neighbor. She has no understanding of what love thy neighbor
she went
means.
On King Jimmy there.
Love, what happened to love thy neighbor?
Let me ask you a question.
Can she quote another verse? Madam Vice President.
One more.
How many books are in the Bible?
Well, just one, because it's the Bible.
How many books are in the canon of Scripture?
Two? New Testament, Old Testament?
Tell me more about Jairus. Who was he?
Well, good luck with that. By the way, they're 39 old and 27 new, making a total of 66, for those of you that didn't.
66 books in the Bible, 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. Continue.
If you have a campaign shirt on, or a button, or a sticker across your forehead, or a hat, you can't go into a polling place.
Correct.
You can't give people Tootsie Rolls or bottles of water if you have an eye.
But they're waiting in line, Mitch. What happened to love thy
then
neighbor?
Turn your shirt inside out and give them some popcorn.
What happened to love thy neighbor? Why can't the Democrats love their neighbor?
By the way, in case you were wondering,
loving thy neighbor also means Republicans, too.
You can't buy people things for their votes.
Sure you can. We're forgiving student loan debt right now.
Ask people in small cities across America.
Of course you can.
One was Blythe, Georgia, where the mayor was buying students 18 to 21 alcohol.
In exchange for their vote. That's called loving thy neighbor.
I'm laughing. For those of you out there like, that's terrible. Yes, it is. It's just so unbelievable.
It's called loving thy neighbor. We got to love our neighbor.
Here's
more.
A Coors Light. I love my neighbor.
We got to love our neighbors.
My goodness.
Speaking of loving thy neighbors, Merrick Garland was speaking at a church. Now, again, I want to point your attention to the... It is a constitutional office holder in the United States government, and he is speaking at a church. Christian nationalism But this is the good kind because he's a Democrat. Here's Merrick Garland, our Attorney General, and thank the good Lord above, not a Supreme Court justice.
The right to vote is still under attack. And that is why the Justice Department is fighting back. That is why one of the first things I did when I came into office was to double the size of the voting section of the Civil Rights Division. That is why we are challenging efforts by states and jurisdictions to implement discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot, including those related to mail-in voting, the use of drop boxes, and voter ID requirements. That is why we are working to block the adoption of discriminatory redistricting plans that dilute the vote of black voters and other voters of color.
Nothing says I love the American people quite like Merrick Garland saying, I grew the scope and size of government.
Because we love you. We love to prosecute you.
Government governs best, governs
most. Most. Absolute mostest.
Like reaching into every crevasse of your life.
The mostest and the bestest.
Because you can't judge yourself. You can't govern yourself.
This idea, and I'm going to be very frank with you.
I thought you were Justin.
Surely you can't be serious. I am serious. Don't call me Shirley. I'm going to be as frank as I can be right now. Anyone who posits to you the idea that black people are too stupid, too dumb, or too poor to get a photo ID are the height of racist.
Well, you know, they can't. Well,
there's not a Kinko's.
Stop.
You have to have a photo ID to buy alcohol. Don't encourage you to. You have to have an ID to buy a lottery ticket. Don't encourage you to. You have to have an ID to buy cold medicine. You have to have an ID to purchase a weapon. Have to have an ID to go into a ball game. You have to have an ID to go into an amusement park, if you're an adult. You have to do all of these things to prove you are who you say you are. The moment we stop being able to prove who people are and that they are who they say they are, then we open the door to people who are not citizens to be able to vote. And we're going to do that on the backs of, well, we're talking about loving thy neighbor.
I had to show ID twice this past weekend. Once to get into a restricted access area. Not a big deal. Yeah. Weird flex. I know.
Whatever.
I was on a list. And they were like, are you on the list or not? Yeah, mm-hmm. I was on the list. And the other time was to buy cold medicine. Cold medicine. Now, I don't encourage anyone to abuse drugs whatsoever. And I'm not saying that if you abuse drugs, that's not as bad as stealing votes.
Sure.
One is protected by the United States Constitution. The Constitution. That the very people who are claiming the 14th Amendment should restrict people from the ballot now want to trample upon when it comes to protecting the measures given by the United States Constitution. How backwards is this? It's almost as if they want to have their cake and shove it down your throat too. That's where we are.
Yes, that's where we are. We'll be back on Wednesday.
As fired up as ever.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Lord willing.
Who's to say if I'm back on Wednesday?
Oh, that's right. You may be called to other duties.
I have no idea.
He may be changing diapers by then.
We're day to day here at the Palmetto Family Matters Show.
And I'll be back on Wednesday.
Mitch will be here on Wednesday.
One
way, shape, or form. We're tracking all the legislation inside the House and the Senate this week. We appreciate your support. Go to palmettofamily.org and subscribe to our email newsletter. Click that invest button to keep us on the air and keep us rolling. We appreciate your investment, and we look forward to giving you a kingdom return on your investment with each and every day and each and every piece of legislation that comes forward. And we look forward to talking with you on Wednesday here on the fastest growing and strongest conservative talk show in the state of South Carolina, the Palmetto Family Matters Show.